previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Excuse me. And if I'm having a shitty day, I'll make sure you do as well. No urine test. Nothing. They're getting into something they have no idea. Contorted into a donut.
And now, today's episode of the Ron Van Dam Show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Don't do any talking. I'll do the talking.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Very good, nicely done.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Don't answer, I can't hear you. Although, if it makes you feel any better, you can talk back. I don't care. This is a one-way deal. So don't even try talking back, but just sit there and be quiet and I'll entertain you for half an hour or more, whatever. Hey, last night for dinner, rotisserie chicken. That's chicken that spins around. It's nothing like a spinning dinner. I'm telling you that. I don't know if the chicken knows what's going to happen to it, but, we're going to stick a metal rod through you, and you're going to go for a ride until you're done. I was watching a documentary about, there's a city in Queens called Jackson Heights in New York, and apparently, and it's a city, you know, location thing, but apparently there's a lot of illegal places where they raise and they kill chickens, and then they put them on a spit and they sell them, and according to the New York City Board of Health rules, you shouldn't be doing that. You should have a license before you kill chickens. And I'm thinking, what a horrible job it would be to kill a chicken, because that's an awfully cruel thing. But I think the worst job of all is plucking it. Can you imagine being a chicken plucker? How would you even tell anybody what you did for a living? What if you went out on a date and they said the date says you, what do you do for a living? I pluck chickens.
Get out of here, you stupid bitch.
Pluck chickens? You can't put that on a resume. That's not going to get you anywhere. There's no job that's going to say, "Oh, pluck chickens. Impressive." What the hell's wrong with me? What? Last night I was watching one of these entertainment programs, you know, where people audition. They do strange things and they audition for you, and they have a panel of judges. There's like 20 shows like that. And this young lady, she had a very strange talent. And whenever I see this talent, and I've seen it a lot, I just I cringe. I can't take it. I just can't take it. This tiny little girl. She's standing there, and there's a box next to her, a tiny box, that's probably not even big enough to fit a beach ball in it. You can't even put a beach ball in it. It's a tiny box, and she and everybody applauds. And all of a sudden, she takes her head and she stuffs it between her legs. Now, let me tell you something. First of all, if I could take my head and stuff it between my legs, my entertainment value would go up incredibly to myself. Also, that's the one place that I probably wouldn't put my head is between my legs, because I know for a fact it's filthy down there. I ain't putting my head there. Up to you if you want to, but I ain't doing it. So she takes her head, hair and all, and she sticks her head between her legs, and then she takes her shoulders and her arms, and she contorts herself into this tiny little package. And you have to be double jointed. You have to be it's disgusting. It's just disgusting. People shouldn't be contorting themselves into little packages, sticking their heads between their legs, taking their feet and sticking it in their ears. It's just wrong to me. She contorts herself into this thing, and somehow she rolls into this little box, and the top of the box lid closes automatically, and she's inside this box, and everybody applauds. And I'm saying to myself, what would I be applauding here? What exactly would I be applauding? Here's a human being that is able to contort themselves into a little package and put themselves in a box. What a talent. I mean, what am I applauding? Is that something that would delight me? No, it's something that's disgusting. It's like pantomime. I can't stand pantomime. It's frustrating. Why would somebody be demonstrating that they're in a fictitious box and can't get out? I would prefer that you actually put yourself in a box and couldn't get out. I think that's where pantomimes belong. Pantomime artists, they're artists, I'm sorry. And for some reason, pantomime artists, they always have to have their face painted a different color, which these days is a little tenuous, you know what I'm saying? Pantomime artists just get to me. The other thing they do is they pull on a rope that doesn't exist. And as amazing as that may be, that is also a reason to be admitted into an insane asylum, because there is no rope there. What are you pulling on? Am I to be entertained because you're pulling on a rope that doesn't exist, yet it looks like you're pulling on a rope? You're talented. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand it. Saw a guy on TV, he was a juggler, and he was juggling balls and bowling pins, the usual. And at the end of the act, the crowd goes, ooh. Because the guy's got three working chainsaws, gas-powered. He pulls the cord, and all three chainsaws are going. And he takes the chainsaws and he juggles the chainsaws as they're chainsawing. They're live and they're buzzing. And of course, you know that one wrong move and his arm comes off. That I might applaud. To me, if he was juggling the chainsaws and one of them slipped and his arm came off, I would say, all right, at least we've learned a lesson here. It's been a teachable moment. At least I can get something out of it. At least it gives a lesson to the kids. There's really no point to doing something like this. If you think that I'm going to sit in a chair and be entertained because you're taking your life in your hands and juggling buzzsaws, I got to tell you something. I'd rather be on the toilet. I don't really find this to be amusing, exciting, or that I should even care. If you're stupid enough to juggle three chainsaws, then the consequences are like totally yours. You own them. I don't particularly feel like I want to watch you do this. I am not excited by these things. I think I'm just watching foolish people. And then it's like the Christians and the lions. I wasn't around when they had these Christians, nor these lions. And apparently, and I don't even know what they did. I don't know if they were baseball teams. I have no idea what they were. But apparently, there was a time in our history where we were apparently civilized enough to watch Christians and lions and bullfighting. And in some places on the globe, bullfighting is still legal. And this is where you have, you know what bullfighting is. You have some kind of guy dressed, way overdressed. People that dress like bullfighters dress should be mauled by animals. They're asking for it, and they should be. You don't dress like that. What are you doing? What are you, some kind of adventurous Liberace? What are you doing? They stand in the middle of this large arena with all these gawking idiots, and this bull comes out, and it's not bullfighting, it's bull teasing is what it is. And this guy takes a cape, and he's dressed like really stupid with sequins and all that stuff. Nobody would dress like this. And I'm always rooting for the bull. I'm always saying, oh, come on, bull. Give this guy a horn up the ass and teach this guy a lesson. Believe me, he'll be in regular clothes in 10 minutes as soon as he gets out of intensive care. I'm rooting for the bull. And when the matador, which is what they call this guy, I guess women do it too, they take these spears and they stick them in the side of the bull, and the bull starts bleeding. And I'm saying to myself, I'm embarrassed that you think that I'm entertained by this. I never get excited by entertainment acts that involve any great amount of danger. My response is always, I hope you get hurt. Because what you're doing, you may think it's fearless and that you're big stuff. My impression is that you're an idiot. You are just a blithering idiot. You're a grandstanding, egotistical maniac who thinks that if they put themselves in danger, that the crowd is going to get very excited and find it pleasure and applaud. Congratulations, you nearly killed yourself. I can't participate in this. I find it objectionable. I find it to be an insult to my intelligence. And intelligence is about all I have left. The older I get, the more I realize all I got left is the stuff that still remains in my head. And even that is dwindling at a rapid pace. I don't care to run around anymore. I don't care to sweat to lose a few pounds. I don't care to put processed food in my body and just watch it deteriorate day after day. All I've got left is what intelligence is still floating around in the cranium. So I find it insulting when my intelligence is challenged. It's the same thing with small talk. I've talked about this before. I can't tolerate small talk. Other people are very good at it. Oh, they're excellent. Salespeople are great at small talk. Here's what they always do. A salesperson, no matter where they are, if they're trying to sell you something, they're in an ass-kissing mode. I mean, you can see it, the dial going to ass-kissing mode. And basically what they do is they always ask, where are you from? And I always say something. I say, New Jersey. I'm from that area, but it throws them off. And inevitably, they will say, oh, my mother's cousin lives in New Jersey. Wow, I didn't know that. What a bond we have created here. It doesn't matter what I say. Where are you from, Ron? I'm from the deepest depths of Siberia. Oh, my mother's cousin lived in Siberia down the street for a couple of years. Very cold, very harsh weather, but lived in Siberia on a cul-de-sac. Wow, now we have something in common, huh? Now I'll buy anything from you.
Why did you buy that car from that person?
Because the mother's cousin lived in Siberia once. It was a bond. What are the chances of that? I'm not good at small talk, and I question any person that gets involved in small talk. I understand they're breaking the ice and they're trying to make things a little more congenial, but it's just they don't care. Nobody cares about small talk. Nobody cares about small talk. Nobody. The only reason someone might engage in small talk is to sell you something, or just to like say something to you to get you the hell out of there quickly. I've told you that when I run into some neighbors, It's Small Talk City. Hey, Ron, the weather's been crazy, hasn't it? Oh, please don't do the weather's been crazy thing. Come on. Can't you see I'm an intelligent person that this is going to go nowhere? What is the point of this? What is the point? Are you selling me Girl Scout cookies? Why are you even bothering talking to me? You know I don't put up with that stuff. It's better just to keep on walking, man. Don't stop and talk to me. It isn't going to work unless you have something to say. Something of some significance. Like, hey, Ron, did you hear that Betty down the street, there was a home invasion and they took all her furniture and then they killed her? That would be newsworthy, something that I can do something with. Oh, my God, that's horrible. I better get a security system or beef up the one I have. That's of some significance. Do you hear about Betty down the street? Oh, no, what happened to her? Oh, nothing. She planted some roses in the front, and apparently a dog came along and peed on one of them. That's horrible. Now, you tell me what I'm supposed to do with that information. Why did you bother telling me that?
Because I wanted to say something to you, because that's what people do.
Oh, okay, come up with something better next time, and we'll actually have a conversation. We'll go back and forth about an idea or a situation that occurred. But don't tell me about the weather's been crazy lately. Oh, yes, it has. Okay, your turn. Now you say something stupid again. I can't handle it. I can't. I'm too intelligent for that. If I was stupid, I would embrace it. And unfortunately, I don't think I'm stupid, so I can't participate in your silly reindeer games. It just doesn't work for me, but thanks for trying. Thanks for trying. I know it works on other people, so congratulations there, but you came to the wrong person. I'm a mature person who values relationships.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
I met a female a couple of years ago, and we were talking, and for some reason it came up in conversation. She said that she can tie a cherry stem in her mouth without the use of her hands, just the twig of the cherry. She inserted it in her mouth. She moved her mouth around a lot for about 30 seconds, and when she was finished, she stuck her tongue out, and on her tongue, laying on her tongue, was a cherry stem that had been tied with a knot in it. Now, that is absurd. It's ridiculous. But that, ladies and gentlemen, was worthy of applause. That was amazing. I could not believe she did that. That is amazing. You can contort yourself and put yourself in a box down to the size of a small beach ball. Not impressive. Tying a cherry stem in your mouth without the use of your hands, that's incredible. And also, hot. it was hot. There was no air conditioning. It was horrible. It was really horrible. My guest today is going to be arriving momentarily. I love this guest, and I'll be talking about what we're talking about on a future show when I have more time, but she is saying, stop playing with your, careful, stop playing with your phone and your Facebook and your Google machine and get away from it all. And she's got a cabin near a lake, And just when she said she's got a cabin near a lake, all of a sudden it's like life stopped, and all of a sudden the serene, quiet image popped into my head. I said, what do you do in this cabin on the lake in this serene image that's popped into my head? And she said, I cook. I do these incredibly warm, delightful meals. And I thought, oh my God, I don't think I really want to marry you, but I'm quite interested in you. And it was amazing. So we're going to talk to her. Her name is Ann Goodwin, and she's amazing. Ann? Let's say hello to Ann Goodwin. She's an award-winning, she's an award-winning author with a new book, Reflect. Well, you know, are you award-winning, or the book is?
Well, my book has won awards, and I guess I'm standing right behind it.
Well, then you are. Then you're award-winning. Okay.
Right. I am.
The book is called Come to the Lake, Reflections on a Cottage Life. This is an interesting book because it kind of, to me, it combines two things. It combines serenity and getting away from it all, and then also my other favorite thing, which is food and enjoying that whole experience. How were you able to combine these two theories?
Well, it was a challenge. I live a full and jumbled life at the lake where, you're right, it is serene, and I enjoy nature and, mm-hmm. and all the activities that go along with lake life, which is paddling and swimming and hiking, and mm-hmm. I also love feeding people. And in this little 1920s lake cottage, I have a very tiny kitchen, but I feed large groups of people on a continual basis, and so I needed to include in my book tiny kitchen cooking recipes that I've come up with.
It's interesting because, there's two things that come to mind. First of all, there's a large population in this country that doesn't have gigantic kitchens like you see on television on all the cooking shows. They're like chef's kitchens and they're gigantic. Most people don't have that.
Exactly. Having a small, tiny kitchen is actually quite efficient. And I just sort of always think of myself as preparing food on a boat. I think I would do well in the bottom of a ship's galley because I'm used to just reaching for things and keeping ahead of myself.
Nice. Now, if you're in a serene area, a comfortable lake, why do you invite people to invade your privacy?
Well, I love to share the lake.
Okay.
It's a beautiful lifestyle.
All right. Okay. It sounds very, very nice. All right. And it's interesting because when you have a serene background, the food kind of like it makes a difference with the food. I mean, it's the atmosphere in which you consume the food besides just sitting in a corner and eating food.
I think so. I remember for some reason as a child, camp, food always tasted better at camp.
Right. That's right.
Then when you went home and tried to recreate it, it didn't taste that great at all.
Well,
but yes, absolutely, the surrounding makes the environment.
I went through the same thing, but it was because my mother couldn't cook. That's why the food at home wasn't so great, you know. But yeah, eating outside—it's true. It's like a hot dog. I mean, as much as I'm sure you're not promoting hot dogs, but a hot dog at a proper venue, like a ball game or in the park, that's so much more tasty than if you just stood in your house and ate a hot dog. I don't know what it is, but they never taste the same. Anyway.
The air relates to.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, let's talk about some of these recipes that may indeed follow with what you're talking about, something that would be a very serene lake-like type of food to have.
Well, it's summer now. One of my favorites is it's a fresh corn salad where and after you have a dozen ear of corn in the pot, and you might not have eaten it all the next day, mm-hmm. you remove the corn from the cob and simply dice up some fresh tomato and some sweet onion and some fresh basil from the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Combine that all together with a little white balsamic vinegar and maybe a little dab of sugar and salt and pepper, and it's just a fresh, crunchy, wonderful salad, and it's a great way to use up that leftover corn.
Wow. On my list here, there are two dishes which I want to have right now. Lee's grilled bacon wrapped bourbon glazed shrimp. Oh my God, just the description is making me hungry.
Yeah, that's the one everyone mentions, and early in the morning, if that's what's calling to you, I'm impressed.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter what time of day for me. And the other is the Fresh Lake Panfish, corn dusted and pan fried. That's kind of got this lake feel to it, which seems like that's the perfect place for this dish.
It does. I'm always so grateful when I have a guest who likes to fish and prepare the fish for cooking. Mm. And really, it's almost like just jumping in the lake. It's a great breakfast item, actually.
Wow. How much time do you spend at the lake?
I try to base from the lake all summer long.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate. It's only 45 minutes from my home. Mm-hmm. However, it's truly a world away. So
it's really nice.
I'm at the lake as much as possible.
Very, very nice. Wow. What part of the country are you in, by the way?
I'm in southern Wisconsin.
Oh, nice.
And what I write about is a tradition of these old lake cottages. Many people now have removed the lake cottages to build lake homes.
Yeah.
But in our life, we literally live in a 1920s cottage where we still hook up the windows and turn it off all the water in the summer or the winter or the winter.
Yeah.
Reopen it summer.
Yeah. Have you found that society is infiltrating your sereneness even at the lake?
Yeah, that's a great question. My whole concept of this book is talking about choosing to disconnect to connect.
Uh-huh.
And back in the 1950s, when my husband's family first got this cottage, his mother said, no TV. Well, we still have no TV today.
Oh.
And I used to have to drive a mile down the road to make a phone call, which was great, because I could truly disconnect.
Right.
But today now with hotspots and laptops and...
I know.
And my cell phone is my camera, so when I'm out in my kayak and I want to take a picture, I need to use my cell phone, but remind myself that I'm not there to connect with my cell phone. I'm there to connect with nature.
Yeah.
So yes, it is a challenge, but one I happily address.
You know, it's funny, just between you and me here, well, and all the people that are listening, when you get older, I find it to be a luxury because you were fortunate enough to know what things were like when they were pure and fresh and simple, and this generation doesn't ever get to experience pure and simple living at all. I feel sorry for them. I feel fortunate that I was able to live through a portion of that.
I agree, and I'm Grandma Ann, and I try to enforce that with our grandchildren. With my children, it was leave the Game Boys in the car before we came down the hill. Now it's, these devices have, been developed to be addictive, and truly small, young children... just need to know how to put them down and get outside and jump in the lake.
Yeah, go jump in the lake, but that's a good thing.
Jump in the lake. That's a very good thing.
Yeah. So let's talk about the book itself. I understand there are some incredible photos of food, and that's something I love as well. The next best thing to eating food is looking at pictures of it.
Well, I was challenged to try to become a food photographer because at the lake I didn't obviously have a studio to set things up, but if I make something and I think it looks good, I can snap that shot with my cell phone camera, and it's actually turned out.
Nice.
So I appreciate that.
So these photos that are in the book were taken at the lakeside location?
They were.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Very nice. Well, they're different recipes. It's not like a common cookbook. They're just, how can I put it? The recipes and the dishes just have a certain different kind of feel to them. Like, number one, they're doable. And secondly, you don't have to be a master chef to do the simple enjoyment of different tastes gathered together and different foods. It's very nice. It's very real.
Yes, the way the recipes are set up in the book, I talk about raising children. And then in my recipe section, the first one, it's recipes of Boyville, or family gathering recipes, or girls' night recipes, which is my big bash during the summer when it's not quite so serene.
Does alcohol come into play?
Maybe a tad. I'm known for my champagne cocktails.
I understand.
which are in the book as well.
Okay. All right. The book's available everywhere?
The book is available on my website, signed, if you'd like a signed copy.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's Pleasurable Pauses in the Break Press.com. Or you can just Google Come to the Lake Ann Goodwin, and you'll find it on my website or Amazon.
Okay. She is Ann Goodwin, and it's Come to the Lake Reflections on a Cottage Life. And it's fun. It definitely puts your head in a different place without actually having to go to the cottage or do your own kind of cottage thing.
Thank you.
And it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I hope.
Okay, you take.
Thanks. Enjoy your day.
Thank you. You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Well, there you go. Cabin by the lake. The ability to create wonderful food and recipes and meals. Negligee, all those things put together is, I would not pick up the Google machine. I would have no reason to do that. There would be nothing to Google. You give me the food, you give me the cabin by the lake, give me a little bit of whoopee, not Goldberg, you know, the action of the whoopee, and I will not think about the Google machine. So perhaps that is a good recipe for a nice, comfortable life. All right, fine. That's enough of this crap. All right, I'm out of time for today. You have just been so patient and so tolerant that you receive a free gift in the mail. If it doesn't come soon, then just I got lost, I guess. But I'm not obligated in any way. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Treat every day as if it's your first. What? And until then, until tomorrow, I wish you peace. I've talked far too long. It's got to be something else to do with more value. It's got to be.